Hello again, everyone. This is Natalie from staff. I think we'll now start. And welcome to Peter, who has just joined us. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is the communication tool classroom, specifically tailored to the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. This session is scheduled to start for about an hour. The plan is that I give you a brief overview of the communication tools that you'll be likely to be using in the CCWG, and then we'll give a large space for question and answers. If you do have questions as we go along, please don't hesitate to type in the chat, and then we'll deal with them as we go along. But I see that David Barron is having audio issues in the chat. Are any of, can you confirm in the chat, therefore, if you are hearing me, please? Thank you very much, Nadira. Let me just give a tip to David now. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Nadira and Peter. Right, let's get started. So just before we start on the main agenda, I'd like to introduce you to your staff contacts for the cross-community working group. So I divide them into two, the more content-related staff support and then the admin and technical. So in terms of content-related purposes, you have Marika Koenig, who's a top at the top here of the slides. He's a senior policy director and a GNSO team leader. You have already received a welcome message from her on the mailing list. And you have Jocke Bracken, who's a CCNSO policy advisor. They are your key people for anything content or substance related, but equally, if they are interchangeable with technical staff, if you do remember just one of these names, that's absolutely fine. They will be able to direct you to the right person. Your contacts now for admin technical support, by that I mean anything to do with the content of today's session, that is to say emails, mailing lists, Adobe Connect rooms, conference calls. So we're called the SOAC support team with Glenda Saint-Géry, Terry Agnew, Michelle DeSmiter, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We'll be the ones you can contact if you have technical issues and if you have any questions regarding conference calls. So the agenda today is aiming to cover most of the tools that you'll be using to ensure that you're quite comfortable once the cross-community working group starts meeting on the 26th of January. So first, where do you go to find information? There are a few different interfaces that you'll need to know how to navigate. The difference with the different mailing lists that you're going to be using and especially receiving information on, so I'll just clarify that for you quickly. The difference between the statuses, so members, participants, and observers, this is sometimes quite confusing, and it's quite specific for cross-community working groups. Then we'll go over the Adobe Connect, how to use it, what are the participants' protocols. A quick description of where to find information regarding ICANN public meetings. We have the Copenhagen meeting coming up shortly. If you are going to join remotely, for instance, the cross-community working group meetings, you'll need to know where to find that information. And then the extra information with ICANN and GNSO Learn. So just to stop after the agenda, for those of you who are experiencing audio issues, it is true that the Adobe Connect Room audio can be a little unstable, depending on your bandwidth. So Daniel does have a point in the chat. To avoid this, if you refer back to the email invitation I sent, you do have the option to dial into the audio bridge, so phone communication, which will ensure that your audio is stable. So please give it a try. Where to find information? Now, this is a cross-community working group. However, it is good to know that all the recordings, etc., are also posted on the GNSO master calendar. So If you need links to any of the spaces I'm mentioning, if you look to the right in the Adobe Connect room, you have a web link pod with the list of all the URLs that you will need. So if you just click on them as you go along, you'll be able to bookmark that page and keep them for the future reference. So the Genesail Master Calendar ahead of time has all the dates of the meetings, the minutes they're scheduled and planned. Afterward, it also has, for every working group and cross-community working group, the transcripts and the MP3s posted. So that's quite a good point of reference. And regarding where you'll go for the actual content and substance of the cross-community working group, we host these on wiki pages. So again, you have the wiki links at the bottom of the Adobe Connect room. So the wiki is where all the activity of ICANN groups is based. For your purpose, the cross-community working group on auction proceeds is hosted under the GNSO tab. So if you go to the slide, you have a GNSO tab, and then to the left, a menu. In this menu, and it doesn't show on the slide, you will find, scrolling down, the cross-community working group for auction proceeds workspace. Once you click on that, you'll find it looks like this. So it's quite handy, even though it's not the most colorful presentation. All the groups in ICANN, so if you have been part of a working group, of a cross-community working group before, you might recognize the structure. All these wiki workspaces are built in exactly the same way. You might need to look in a tiny bit, as the font is fairly small, but you will have the background documents, in this case the cross-community working group charter. You will have a list of all the CCWG meetings, such as the one starting on the 26th of January. Ahead of time on that page, you will have the agenda of the meeting. And after the meeting, you will have, again, same as on the GNSO Master Calendar, the MP3 and the transcript posted there. In addition to that, you will also find a summary of the notes taken during the call, and the attendance, as well as the Adobe Connect chat. More of that later. Under that section, you have the attendance records. So attendance records, this concerns conference call attendance. This includes, therefore, for the cross-community working group, members and participants. Observers won't appear here. And then again, the cross-community background information at the bottom. So I touched upon this, and we'll go into this in a little more detail, the cross-community working group mailing lists. So in other groups in ICANN, you would only have to deal with one mailing list. In the case of this cross-community working group, directly linked to the fact we have different statuses, so observers, participants, and members, we have two mailing lists to help deal with that. So the mailing list on which you've only received information up to now is the top one, which starts with CCWG. This is the main public discussion mailing list. Its archives are open and accessible to all. However, only members and participants can actually post on this list. Okay? Observers have read-only rights exclusively. Because this list is open to all, conference call details, such as the invitation you received for today, must not be sent on this list. The only reason why I send the details on this list was because I wanted to have observers join this session today. Observers, and some of you present here are observers, you will not receive conference call details on that mailing list. They will be sent on the Notify mailing list, which is the second mailing list shown on this slide. So NTFY at the beginning of the URL is short for Notify. This is a read-only list for community members. Only technical staff support and admin staff support can post to this list. And this list will therefore only host email invitations for a conference call. This is why, for you who are members and participants, if you do attempt to post to this list, it will not go through. So if you seem to have problems getting an email message through to the group, please make sure that you are not sending it to the notify list, but you are sending it to the main CCWG list. Because of the sheer volume of mailing lists within ICANN, there's been the development of a certain mailing list etiquette, which you will following this, you'll find quite helpful just to make communications clear and to be able to follow several conversation threads. So the subject line should be very clear. This is a standard for you amongst each other as community members in a cross-community working group, but equally when writing to staff. If you need an urgent dial-out, for instance, you'll be sure to get it if you put in your email title, urgent dial-out needed, rather than writing it in the body of the email. Please always remember to sign with your full name. It can happen that you share a first name with a community member, or that maybe your initials are not known by all the community members of the group. So please make sure to sign clearly. Mm-hmm. You will notice that there will be a lot of emails with a plus one written on. We have this. We can have this a lot. Please remember that plus ones are great. They also can fill an inbox very quickly. Also, bear in mind that if replying to an email in email thread and quoting a specific paragraph, quote the paragraph clearly and also maybe change the font. For instance, we have some font changes that do not. Or some colors, for instance, that do not make it through to another person's inbox, so make sure to quote as clearly as possible and to remind everyone whose email you are quoting. It makes communications clearer. Messages of thanks, dial-out requests, for instance, apologies for conference calls, should be sent to staff only. And there are some obvious emails to be sent for the whole list, for example, emails with questions regarding substance of the group that would be beneficial to everyone. Questions about not understanding certain points, again, beneficial to everyone. But apologies, issues with statement of interests, etc., should be sent to the relevant staff only. Generally, those issues I've just mentioned will be the SOAC support concerns, and our email address can be found in the last link at the bottom of that web link pod to the right of the Adobe Connect room. But having said what you shouldn't do, I also need to encourage you to please, please don't hesitate to comment or ask questions and be as active as possible on the mailing list. There are quite a lot of members, having read through the statements of interest, who are for whom this is the first cross-community working group experience. Please do not feel intimidated by this and do ask questions because, as I said previously, it will be extremely beneficial to the other newcomers. So please don't hesitate. So a brief section about cross-community working group members and participants. They have additional obligations compared to observers. So I'd just like to go over this quickly with you. For those of you who are participants, when you signed up, you received an email from me or from my colleague, Terry, asking you to fill in a statement of interest. So they are written as GNSO statements of interest because anyone who joins a GNSO working group has to fill in a statement of interest. So this is also used for many cross-community working groups simply because the structure is here. The email replying to asking you to create a statement of interest aims to be as clear as possible, and filling in a statement of interest is compulsory. If you do not, after several reminders, fill in the statement of interest, your status will be changed from participant to observer. And as a reminder, the observer does not have access to conference calls and has a passive access to the mailing list. So if you just bear with me, I'm going to help with Arnoun. There we go. Arnoun just lost the sound, so I'm just trying to help him out. So the statements of interest looks something like this. So this is a random choice of statements of interest. This is Chuck Gomes. As you see, there are slots that you cannot fill in. There is the option to post a photo. You do not need to do this. The only thing is you need to have some sort of information about yourself posted. None of these slots are compulsory at all. When we send out the email asking you to fill in a statement of interest, there is an attachment, a PDF attachment with the instructions that ought to make sure you get through it. It is the initial bit start can be a little confusing, not confusing, maybe clumsy, but afterward it's exactly the same as any application form or profile page you've been asked to fill in. Again, if you have issues, please don't hesitate and write to us. We can help you out. Now, specific to this cross-community working group, participants and members are expected not only to complete their statement of interest, but to send in a filled-in declaration of interest. So, for those of you who did subscribe as participants, you'll have received this as an attached Word document. It's also downloadable from the membership page on the Wiki space. It takes about 40 seconds to fill in, and I'm not going to name and shame, but I know a few of you present have not yet sent that to us. This, again, is not optional. It is compulsory for participants and members, and again, as a participant, if you do not fill this in after several reminders, your status will be changed to that of observer. It is key to have updated information for the participants on this cross-community working group. If you have any questions about that, please type them in the chat or email them to us. So, as a participant or member, you will receive an email invitation to the working group, to the cross-community working group, approximately a week before that working group takes place. It's standard to send them a week before and then a reminder 2 days before. So these will be sent on the Notify mailing list. They will look like the one on the screen here. Normally what happens is you will receive a calendar invitation, so directly from our Outlook calendar, that 9 times out of 10, you will be able to click on accept, and it will adapt to your own calendar in your inbox. However, we have seen in some community members, unfortunately, those who use, for example, university addresses, if they work at universities or just their professional email addresses, that they do not receive these calendar invitations because they come directly from our Outlook calendar. In order to remediate that, we send the calendar invitations as ICS attachments to the email invitations. So you will receive two elements each time, a calendar invitation, which if you're lucky, you can just accept, and an email invitation with the calendar invitation attached that you can download if you haven't received the initial calendar invitation. It does seem like overload, and we apologize for that, but it is the only way we have found to ensure that everyone gets a calendar slot in their calendar. So this is what we've just said about the calendar invitations. So Adobe Connect and conference calls. These are your main challenges. As we've seen just now, there can be issues with audio, etc. So I'm going to try to run you through how to sort them out. So signing in as a guest in the Adobe Connect room, as you see, maybe when you tried today, you had the option to sign in as host or as guest. Please always sign in as guest. The hosting options are for staff only. When joining your conference call for the cross-community working group, please remember to sign in with your first and your last name. It's courtesy for your fellow community members. They shouldn't have to go to the membership list to find out who you are. And equally for transparency purposes. You might be intervening in the conference call. You might be asking questions or typing in the chat. It's important that we can link what's been said to a specific member of the group. If you do have issues with your Adobe Connect room, you're having problems logging in, please keep the URL that's in the web link pod, is the fifth one down. This is an Adobe Connect test that can help you troubleshoot what's going on. If you still have issues with your Adobe Connect room after having run this test, then please email us and we will make sure that our tech team can help you. So let's suppose that you didn't have any problems and that you've joined this Adobe Connect room perfectly. And yes, Danielle, I can change your name now for either one. So I'll just change Danielle's name to Daniel Dardayim. There we go, Dan. Okay, so once you've entered the Adobe Connect room, the layout of the conference call Adobe Connect room will be very similar to this one, except you will not have the web link pod. Instead of that, you will have a notes pod where the agenda will be posted and also where the support staff will be taking notes as they go along. That is the only difference. Otherwise, it will be exactly the same as here. So the pod in the middle where the slides are uploaded is the share pod. And generally, that will be where you have the documents to be shown and to be discussed during the working group. The AC chat, which is where most of you have been typing already, this is key. Now, you must know that the public Adobe Connect Room chat, so the one that we can all see now, is kept in archives. Okay? It's considered as important a record of the content of the meeting as an MP3 recording. So you must bear that in mind when you type in the chat. However, there is an option to have a private chat, so you can do that while but if you highlight someone's name, for instance, with your mouse in the participant list, there's a drop-down menu that enables you to private chat someone. You can do that with staff if you need. You can do that with staff if you need a dial-out or if you have audio issues. And you can also do that through the chair if you have a specific question. That private chat, so the chat you have one-to-one, will not be recorded. No one has access to that. The minute the chat is cleared, that is cleared with it. Okay? So please don't worry about that. Nadira's question in the chat, there was an issue between the Adobe Connect connecting through PC or mobile. Not everyone could hear each other. Has this problem been addressed? Nadira, is this for this session now or in general? Could you please? You're welcome to unmute too, Nadira, if you'd like to ask a question on the audio. In general.
Nadira?
Hello, Nadira.
It happened to me in another meeting with a Pralo meeting where I was connecting from my laptop and not everybody here, so somebody had to dial me to address my so I was able to talk with them. So I don't know how to, I was hearing certain people and this other, they couldn't hear. So there is kind of bridging problem between the two applications. I'm not sure how it was. And I was confused because I was the one who's supposed to talk so a little bit I was confused about this problem.
It is. Have anybody
reported that before?
Yes, this is a general issue that is simply the fact that if you connect your Adobe Connect Room through your voiceover IP rather than the phone, the audio can be hit and miss. If you have an excellent connection, you're not moving around, it should be okay. I know that my connection is fine, but even when I connect via the Adobe Connect Room audio, it's not the best. So as a piece of advice and what we as staff advise other staff members and community members to do is if you know or if you anticipate that you will have to talk, so either a presentation or you know there's an issue that is really important to you and you will participate, dial into the phone. the phone line is always the more stable connection. Now, I know that you have international call fees, et cetera, if you're dialing from abroad, maybe in the list of numbers that that Verizon is providing, well, there isn't your country of residence. We can provide dial-outs to you. So that means that a little ahead of time, you need to email us with your phone number, and we can have the operator dial out to you before. So you still have an option of the chat in those cases also, but if you do know you have to speak, we always strongly insist that you do, because even with the best of connections, you can't guarantee that. And Nadira, if your country is not on the list of dialing countries, and there is a session where you would like to speak up and ask questions, in that case, we can dial out to you. That's no problem at all. Bear in mind that if you are not planning to speak up and you just have a question or two, then the AC audio should be fine. Also, if you have joined the Adobe Connect audio and halfway through the meeting you realize that you cannot hear, you've tried to close and re-enter the room, it's still not working, then you can either write it in the chat saying, I would like a dial-out, please. And if you're reluctant to provide your own personal phone number maybe to the rest of the community members, you can always private chat. So it will be either myself or Terry Agnew or Michelle, and we will be in the list of hosts. As you can see at the moment, there's Glenda Saint-Henri and myself in the list of hosts. You can private chat any of the hosts during any call, and then provide that phone number, and they will be able to get a dial-out to you. It generally takes a minute or two. So please don't worry about that. We will get you connected for the conference calls. Moving on to the Adobe Connect Room protocol, several protocols. So there's common courtesy to have the first and last name as mentioned. This is so if you do want to ask a question or intervene, you can be correctly identified, obviously. It is common practice to not just speak into a call. That seems, for obvious reasons, it could be fairly disruptive. But there are ways to let the chair know that you do want to ask a question or make a comment. So you have the hand-raised option. So the hand-raised option is the icon that you can see at the very top of the toolbar, which is a white man torso with his arm raised. So if you click on that, so give it all a go, clicking on that now. Thank you, Nadira. Excellent. So clicking on the white icon, this shows next to your name in the attendance list that you have your hand raised. And this also obviously indicates to the chair that you want to ask a question. This does not allow you to stop speaking immediately. It simply indicates to the chair you still need to wait for the chair to finish speaking before he can allow you to speak. Once you have finished speaking, it's very important to put your hand down, so go into the exact same icon as you've all done, well done, and put your hand down. Because obviously if you don't, it looks as if you have an additional comment or reply to make. Many times you'll hear a chair ask someone if it is a new or an old hand they have raised, so old hand being a hand that someone might well have forgotten to put down. It's very often the case. Other ways of taking part, if you look at the drop-down menu next to the icon with the hand raised, you have the option of having a green tick or a red cross written there. This you can use anytime you want rather than typing. If there's an excellent idea being mentioned, you can use a green tick. Or the chair can use this to conduct a quick poll, for instance. If he wants to run a meeting the week after, which wasn't planned before, and he wants your opinion, he might well ask you to just mark with a green tick or red cross. So if you try it now, you'll see that you end up with your name as marked with a green tick or a red cross, exactly. And same thing again as with the hand raise, you just go back in to get rid of the status. I think you also have the icon of a hand clap, too, if you're very, very enthusiastic. Yes, the last one down is the applause. if you're extremely enthusiastic about what's being said during the meeting, you can also show a little clap of hands. Next in the list, as I said, we do mention that all the calls, despite being restricted to members and participants, the calls are recorded, all the recordings are published, and hence we need to follow expected standards of behavior. This is why ICANN has got its own fairly predictable ICANN expected standards of behavior. So I think this slide is pretty difficult to read with this font, but you do have the link in the web link part at the bottom of the Adobe Connect room. If you do not adhere to ICANN expected standards of behavior, staff and potential fellow community members will be very swift to make you realize that what you're saying is not appropriate or acceptable, and will keep you in line. It is worth reading the ICANN standard of behavior just to make sure that you have everything covered before you actually take part in the cross-community working group. We encourage it strongly. So, ways to dial into the Adobe, to join the Adobe Connect Room audio. So, as I've said here before, you can use the calendar invitation to dial into the phone bridge. Or if your number is not available, please don't run into huge connectivity fees. Just ask us to dial out to you. However, one of the simpler ways is to connect your microphone. So when you join the Adobe Connect Room, there will automatically be a microphone icon next to your name. This does not mean that your microphone is activated. It means that the Adobe Connect Room is set up, ready to welcome your microphones is different. With a microphone next to your name, your microphone is simply enabled. You will need to activate it every time you join the call if you want to speak. It takes about 2 seconds to do so, so it's not something you need to think of every single time you join, but it can be a spur of the moment thing if you do feel you'd like to ask a question. So to connect your audio, you would click on the telephone icon at the top of the Adobe Connect Room toolbar and choose Connect My Audio, and then follow from there. You would therefore choose your computer, allow the AC room to access your microphone, and then it's activated. The issue being is that the minute you activate it, it is automatically open. So please always remember to mute your microphone. To do that, you'd go back to the top of the toolbar. The telephone would no longer be there because you've activated your microphone. It would be a microphone icon, and you would therefore mute it there. Even if you have the impression that your room is very silent, that there's no one around you, if you are unmuted, there will be breathing noises. There will be paper noises or typing noises. The microphones are very, very sensitive. So please make sure to, as default setting, always have either your microphone or your telephone on mute. So just to remember the chronology of the calls, you'll receive the email calendar invitation. Please remember to send your apology or ask for a dial out when you receive that. If you are taking part actively in the working group, we would always encourage you to dial into the bridge or request a dial out. When you log into the Adobe Connect Room, please remember to log in with your first and last name. And also remember when taking part over the audio or over the chat in written form that both are published pieces of communication. And also please remember to keep yourselves muted and to raise your hands before speaking if you have any questions, as is the cross-community working group tradition. Nadira, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm asking about the use the term bridge. So that's also, that's kind of while solving the problem. So I didn't understand, what do you mean by the bridge through connecting?
That's a very, very good point. And yeah, that's my mistake for not having made that clear. The bridge is the other word for telephone. Okay, it's dial into the bridge. It means the telecom bridge. It means when you would pick up the phone. So we would always advise to not have the issues that you've had with this session, for instance, to pick up the phone if your number is in the list of dialing countries and connect via the telephone, or ask as for a dial out. That's what is meant by hear. If you hear a chair ask you to connect to the bridge, it all means it's a technical slang way of saying pick up your phone and dial in. Does that help, Nadira?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Any other questions? And thank you, Nadira, for asking that. It's a good point. Okay, seeing none, let's carry on. ICANN public meetings. This is not something that you need to worry about right now, or that you need to worry about at all, in fact, but simply we have the Copenhagen meeting coming up shortly, and the CCWG will presumably have a meeting there. So whilst clearly not all of you will make it to the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, there will always be, and there are always, possibilities to join remotely. This is exactly the same as a normal conference call, which means that you will have an Adobe Connect room, and you will be able to dial in certain to join the telephone bridge. But the details will be slightly different because of the nature and setup of an ICANN public meeting. So, to get more information about the Copenhagen meeting, which is coming up, you can go to the ICANN meetings website. Again, you have the link in the web link pod in the AC room. This gives you, very importantly, the schedule, which is not set yet, but will be soon. It gives you all the details for the remote. It gives you the option to download every single session which is of interest to you to your calendar, so you can follow without worrying about time zone conversion. You have everything there. And that's extremely helpful. After the sessions, fairly quickly, you have the recordings up there too. So in the case of the cross-community working groups, for instance, you will have the transcript of the meeting about 24 hours to 48 maximum after the end of the meeting. You will be sent also remote participation details which concern cross-community working groups and GNSO working groups. So this will be hosted on the wiki, and all the details will be circulated on the CCWG mailing list several times before Copenhagen. So we will give you the exact time and date and how to access the remote for the CCWG meeting, so you don't need to worry about that. And, of course, exactly the same as out of ICANN meetings, if you have questions, issues, then we are still your go-to people during ICANN meetings. You can ask us for assistance at any time. In addition to the communication tools that will be specific to this cross-community working group, I wanted to talk to you quickly about the ICANN Learn and the GNSO Learn platforms, the links you have also. The ICANN Learn platform is really quite handy if very vast in the subject it touches upon. So you do have sessions going from the complete beginner with the newcomer toolkits, for instance, to more specific subjects, as you can see, digital trade and global internet governance, for instance. These are quite good to pick and for a few minutes and go. The courses are free. All you have to do is to create a login, which takes a couple of seconds. If you're interested in more of the GNSO activities, you have the equivalent on the GNSO Learn, which is here, which does give you an overview of the different stakeholder groups and the policy development process, and a few helpful tips and tricks, which are identical for GNSO newcomers as they are for cross-community working group newcomers. And the other additional tips will be the acronym helpers. The acronyms in ICANN, even though everyone's making a substantial effort to minimize them, they are still used in mass. So on the top, at the top of every GNSO page on the GNSO website, which is in the web link pod, you have an acronym helper. So please, please use it. I know that staff members do too, because they can get confusing on our side. So please don't hesitate. Equally, there are, as There are quite a few newcomers in the CCWG, but there are also experienced members. It's in everyone's interest that knowledge gets shared without any embarrassment of any kind. So we know the fact that going directly to a person who's maybe part of your stakeholder group or your constituency, or who's another individual as yourself, can help to find guidance and answer to questions. And again, if you do need any indication, direction, etc., we are there to help you. So it's the gnso-secs@icann.org, the last link of the web link pod in the EC room. And you can ask us for any silly question, because there are no silly questions, and we will help you as much as possible or point you in the right direction at the very worst. That is pretty much all I wanted to cover today. I wanted you to have an overview of the tools that you will have to use, even if following, you know, fairly passively as an observer or very actively as a participant. One thing I forgot to add to this is, I know we have both participants and observers on this call. If at any point you feel that as a participant, you know, you're getting too many emails or the conference call schedule is a bit too heavy, you would rather be an observer, in that case, you would just send us an email and we would change your status immediately. And equally, the same goes in the other direction, obviously. If as an observer you actually like what you're reading about and you'd like to know more, you freed up a bit of time. In that case, we'd be delighted to welcome you as a participant. And same thing here, you just send us an email to gnso-secs@icann.org, and we'll get you set up. It won't take long at all. I'll stop there, and well, thank you for coming, and also ask if there are any questions or comments you'd like to make. Danielle, please go ahead. Danielle, we cannot hear you. Please go. Danielle, you might need to type in the chat. I do apologize. We can't hear you. Peter, you are muted. Would you like to ask your question over the audio, or would you prefer to type it in the chat? Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you for the comment in the chat. That's really appreciated. Danielle, if this is a question or comment you would like to, please don't hesitate to email us. And you can also type it in the chat now. For the rest of you, thank you very much for joining the call. And the recording of this and the slide deck will be made available to the list. So I'll circulate that very shortly. And thank you very much to all of you for joining. Have an excellent remainder of your day. Goodbye.